Drive sweepstakes. One lucky KBOO supporter will win a prize package that includes a six-month VIP pass to the Crystal Ballroom that allows you and a guest entry to every show, even if it's sold out, as well as access to the VIP viewing area. A one-week artist residency at Southwestern Lodge in Seaview, Washington on the Long Beach Peninsula, $200 in gift certificates to the Portland Saturday Market, and 10 treatments at Working Class Acupuncture. For every $15,000 we raise between now and May 5th, we will remove one day from the spring membership drive, which will be from May 6th through May 16th. Thank you for your early support. All the funds raised during this time will be applied to the spring membership drive goal of $95,000. A donation is not required to enter the sweepstakes. For more info, kboo.fm/2015springsweeps.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. With me right now is Jane Vogel in my office studio. Jane is the founder and board president of a new organization aimed to create more equal opportunities for women in theater. She founded AGE, which stands for Age and Gender Equity in the Arts. Jane Vogel, welcome to stage and studio.
Thank you, Dee Mae.
So it's great to talk with you about this. We met a few months ago. I don't know, actually it was last year, wasn't it? And you talked to, you know, you were introducing this organization that you were just starting, and I don't even know if you had your 501c3 at that time.
No, I didn't. When I spoke with you initially, it was still a vision, and then things just came together very, very quickly, way beyond my wildest imagination, and we were able to get the 501c3 in November, and we are just about to launch it at Portland Center Stage with a big celebration on May 4th.
Oh, we're going to talk about the May 4th celebration pretty soon, but I just want to find out more about it, because you talk with a lot of people, and how many people do you think in the Portland community did you talk to about age and gender equity?
Oh, I would have to just guesstimate probably over 200.
Wow.
Yes, a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
It is a lot.
Over how long of a period?
15 months.
So what was your motivation to start this, not only this dialogue and this talk and conversations that you have with people, but this organization?
Well, that's a rather complicated question. There certainly was a straw that broke the camel's back, but...
What was that? I always like I like to hear stories about that.
Well, one of the straws that broke the camel's back was in late 2013, I wanted to audition for a film shoot that asked for an actor 50-plus of at least part Asian descent, male. And I, without sending in a headshot and resume, asked them if I might be able to audition. And I was very nicely told no, because the actor would be playing an IT role, and they were needing to cater to a male audience that a woman could not, apparently, was not the right type for an IT role. And that was one of the straws that broke the camel's back. Another one was where I sat through a production that was written by a man, all male actors, and I felt there was a lot of gratuitous violence against women in it. And this is, you know, this is something that I have observed for as long as I've been to theater, some version of that. And also in other areas of my life, I have observed gender bias and age bias. And I decided that it was really time to do something about it, to go beyond the conversation and try to come up with an idea that might attract everyone's attention.
Just to backtrack, when you asked if you could audition for the biracial Asian man role, you are a biracial Asian woman. So it's obvious to me that, you know, why couldn't you play an IT expert. I mean, there are such things in this world.
Absolutely.
I mean, that isn't an unusual story for a lot of women, I have to say, you know, because I was just nodding my head like, oh, yeah, you know, I think if you talk to people, that's pretty, I don't want to say standard, but it happens pretty regularly.
And when I have spoken with other people about this and other women actors, they have said, some of them have said, I go in anyway, and I try to knock that audition out of the park, which is wonderful when people can empower themselves. But there are a lot of people who, for a multitude of reasons, don't have that in them, and I want to represent them as well.
You know, it always strikes me as odd that, you know, here we have national legislation that says you cannot discriminate on the basis of race and gender and orientation and any kind of, you know, disability. And yet in theater and film and television, it is standard practice.
Yes, that is true.
So why do we allow that? I mean, I just don't understand why we allow that.
And I hold the arts to an even higher standard. I do believe that we are that entity of civilization that pushes the envelope forward, that creates new narratives. And for us to be part of the gerbil wheel, to be regurgitating cultural bias, I think is really wrong.
Do you know of any statistics, I guess in theater, either nationally or locally, that kind of support your mission as far as how much it's needed?
Well, some of the national statistics that I've looked at have, you know, that in terms of the body of work in theater, that about 17-20% is written by women, and yet we represent 52% of the population. Our organization has started to look at Portland, but we don't really have the resources right now to do legitimate scientific studies on that, but we certainly hope to be collecting data as we go along.
Yeah, it would be good to look at it, and I wonder if some granting organizations like the Regional Arts and Culture Council have some stats that we're not aware of. But yeah, it would be interesting to get something regarding Portland and to see how women fare.
Yes, well, and as we go through developing our process for applying for the awards, we're going to be collecting data from past years as well.
So when you say you're applying for the awards, you're actually starting a grant fund.
Well, what we would like to do is offer at least one award, possibly two awards, up to $20,000 to the theater entities that demonstrate age and gender equity in the arts.
And what would be some of the criteria for that?
Well, there will be some objective criteria, such as how many female directors, male directors, female playwrights, male playwrights, and then also a gender and age breakdown of the actors. But that's going to be really only a small part of it, because we're not looking at just numbers and quantities. We're also looking at qualitative changes, having the stories change, having the narratives change. What is the theater company doing to really go beyond the walls of their theater to try to change how women are being portrayed?
Well, and on your list of mission objectives that I saw on your website, ageinthearts.org, there are some language about productions that use slurs and derogatory references toward women and perpetuate violence and oppression, as well as ageist language. So I imagine that's some of what you're looking at.
Absolutely. And we're not interested in censorship. We're not interested in tying the hands of any artist. But I do believe that over the decades, we have become more discerning about language that we use when we reference people of color, when we talk about the LGBTQ community. And that level of discernment is not present around sexist and ageist language whatsoever. You know, there's language that needs to be used to move the story forward, and then there's titillating and gratuitous use of language. And I do think, again, we need to question that. We need to increase our awareness. We need to have dialogue about that.
Have you had any negative response? I know that you know, you've had a lot of positive response in a lot of the groups that you've talked with and the individual artists, but have you had a negative response? You know, what types of responses do you get that aren't necessarily positive?
Well, fortunately, and the reason we are so way ahead of schedule on our plan is because we've had probably 98%, 99% positive response. Some of the pushback that we've gotten has been, there are some people who feel that this isn't an issue, that the term, "we have come so far," which is, I'm not sure what the subtext of that statement is. And I think about, for example, in the issues of race, certainly since the 1960s, we've come a long way, but as long as we still have unarmed Black youth being shot, the statistics are so warped in terms of our education, our justice system, it's not okay to say we've come so far. And in terms of gender issues and age issues, I say we still have a long ways to go.
Well, and I think we have a long ways to go regarding race and how it's portrayed as well. You know, yeah, when you say you've gone a long way, sure, women have the right to vote. That's a long way. But, you know, you're looking at what kind of measure that you want. Do you want equality, or do you just want to be, you know, do you want it to have be a little bit better than it was 20 years ago?
Yes. Well, when any group is not given an equal voice at the table, we all have to step up. And that's another thing that I've been doing, is really bringing together people of all ages, all genders, to be a part of this.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. I'm talking with Jane Vogel, the founder and board president of AGE, which stands for Age and Gender Equity in the Arts. For more info, you can visit ageinthearts.org, or you can visit stageandstudio.org, where I have all these links as well as the podcast of this show. Now, a few days ago, Meryl Streep, the great Meryl Streep, announced a new grant fund for women screenwriters who are over 40 years of age. You know, what's your response to that?
I think that's great. There are a lot of women stepping forward in the film industry and in theater too to try to fund their own productions or productions that support gender and age. And I think that's great. I really hope that at some point, though, that this becomes mainstream, as opposed to an anomaly.
Yeah, that's always the ideal. But I do think it takes people actually putting money into it, like you are trying to do, where you have a $20,000 award for a theater. Are they trying to prove something from the past success, or are they actually proposing to do something for their next season?
We will be collecting data from past seasons, but that data will not be going to the selection committee. And by the way, the selection committee the first year will be out of Portland, people who have no affiliation with Portland. And so the selection will be based on current season and also what their projected action plan is going to be for the future. We really want to avoid tokenism. We want to avoid one time, let's just do this in order to get the money. And the money, really, in a perfect world, is a secondary issue. It's more about being a part of an important awareness of social consciousness.
When are people going to start applying for this fund?
We hope to be able to raise the money this year and start collecting applications by the end of this year and award for the 2016-2017 season.
Well, what's been the challenge in fundraising for AGE and the grants the grants fund that you want to fund?
Well, there are two immediate challenges. One is that grants, we are not eligible for that until we're about 3 years in operation, have 3 years of operations. The second challenge is that there is an element of donor fatigue in terms of the arts community. There are the same donors funding multiple organizations and productions. And so our organization is really striving to go outside of the arts community because we see this as a social justice issue. We don't see this as being about theater. It's not about old. It's not about women. It's really about humanity. And again, if all goes well, we'd like to pilot this for 3 years in Portland, demonstrate success, and then create a template that we can take nationally.
So I'm curious about, you know, organizations that can help you. For instance, Actors Equity. Do they get involved in discussions like this on a local level?
Well, I was just invited to speak to a monthly meeting with APP Northwest, the Alliance of Professional Performers. And at that event, I was also asked if I might speak to the local chapter of SAG-AFTRA, which I'm very eager to do. And again, I've been invited to two luncheons at the MAC Club. I'm relatively new to Portland. I hadn't been to the MAC Club, and neither of those groups are theater groups, which is really also very exciting. And I've gotten support outside of Portland for this as well. So I'm really looking forward to getting statewide support and national support for this.
I mean, because Actors Equity, I think, should be involved in something like this. And even on their website, the national website, it says something about how they encourage theaters to have equity regarding age and gender and race. So, you know, I don't know what that means as far as encourage, you know, but it just seems like there needs to be more of a stepped up effort, you know, rather than encourage, but to have actual initiatives that will address it and change or make change.
Yes, and that is the impetus behind this organization, that encouraging and having conversations, that's been going on for a long time. We have had backlash and bottlenecking, I believe, the last 20 years. And so I am interested in finding something that will stimulate action.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you say backlash, of course, the word feminist is now an F word, you know, for a lot of people, and both men and women alike. And that's just astounding to me. But you know, that's when I was thinking what kind of negative response you might have. Because I think sometimes when you start talking about race and gender and ageism, a lot of people start rolling their eyes. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that happen.
Well, I'm aware of the trigger response to certain labels. When I speak to a person, I try to use their metaphors and their language. And that is how I start the conversation. And I feel that so many people from different walks of life have a story to tell that really melds with our mission.
So you're trying to reach people who might not be favorable to this by kind of studying them? I mean, I'm not sure what your response is.
Well, it's not that I'm reaching people who are not favorable to this, but I'm also aware when I talk to certain people that they may come from a place where they have a trigger response to feminists, that feminism doesn't mean equality, that feminist somehow means a devaluing of their choices that they have made. And so I would have that conversation without using that label. That is a place to start, to really find common ground, because the bottom line is that most people have a place in their heart where they do want to be useful, that they do want to not be part of that group of people that hurts other people. And I also avoid blaming. I avoid making this a blame against the white man, or blaming women who have made other choices for being the problem. No, this is really about finding solutions, understanding that a lot of this problem is a systemic problem. It's a cultural problem that we're all, it lives in all of us.
Well, let's talk about this event that you're going to have. You've already launched Age and Gender Equity in the Arts, but this is more of a celebration, and it's going to be at Portland Center Stage on Monday, May 4th, and that's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. What do you have planned for this evening?
Well, first of all, we're very, very grateful to Portland Center Stage for donating their space and being so generous with this. We have planned a program, and we have tremendous artists and presenters who will be coming and sharing their talent and their wisdom and their stories with us. It's just a very exciting time. We've got Artist Repertory will be... They will have 4,000 Miles by Amy Herzog on their stage, and Van O'Brien and Josh Weinstein with Alana Byington will be there at the celebration.
They'll be doing a scene then?
They will be doing a scene. Alana will, who is the director, will give a short presentation about it. Patricia Hunter, who was Mrs. Gottlieb in Dead Man's Cell Phone for Profile Theater, will be doing her very infamous eulogy monologue. Chantal de Groot and Don Kenneth Mason, who will be doing a scene from Taming of the Shrew, which they had also done as part of an event at Portland Center Stage. And then Grace Carter will perform a devised piece that will be shown next year at Coho. Ithaca Tell will MC and do some singing. Susan Johnson will sing. Caitlin Nolan, and then Ithaca's band partner Matt Inslee will be there. Daniel Pollock Pelsner, who is a Shakespeare scholar. He is our scholar in residence. He's scholar in residence for Portland Shakespeare Project. He will give a brief mini lecture on powerful women roles in Shakespeare. And then our very favorite Ronnie LaCroute will also be giving a little presentation. So it'll be a very delightful, fun evening.
Well, and Ronnie, of course, is a great patron of theater in the Portland area and beyond. So this is great. It's a great lineup, and it sounds like, you know, everybody's donating their time to be there.
Yes, everybody is being incredibly generous and donating their time and just really doing all they can to support this.
What other types of events will you be having in the future?
Well, we are going to be in June 8th. Kayla Leanne and Michael Nearing will be offering an audition workshop for Age. We will be having some fundraising events that are yet to be announced, and we would like to in the future be bringing in, you know, some national figures if we could. So
yeah, it sounds like you got a lot of plans in the works. Well, I have to say that, you know, I'm very supportive of this initiative, of course, to give women more gender equality. And, you know, I really salute you on all your efforts, because I know this has been a volunteer effort for you for a long time now, at least a year, if not more. I do want to state, though, that I hope that there will be more opportunities for actresses of color, because it just seems like, even though, yes, it's a fact that, you know, white actresses don't get as many roles as white actors, it's even more of a fact that actresses of color get even fewer roles than white actresses. So a lot of times with some of these initiatives, and this is me commenting, I feel that that's kind of overlooked a lot of times. And so I hope that, you know, there will be that kind of awareness, and I'm sure there will be, but I'm just putting my two cents in there regarding a lot of the initiatives. I don't see the same kind of supports between the races, even among women, quite often.
Well, and as someone who has never identified as white, that is something that is always on my radar. And I believe that by supporting gender and age, we are going to strengthen diversity initiatives, racial initiatives. I really feel that right now we're operating on a bifurcated system.
Now, what does that mean?
I feel that when we address racial issues, we often look at it without addressing the gender piece. And as a result, whatever we do, the female component drops to the bottom and anchors us down, and we're only as strong as our weakest link.
And likewise, I also think when we address women's issues, we don't look at the race issues as well. So I think it goes hand in hand a lot of times. And that's something that is fluid and needs to be discussed all the time.
I totally agree with that.
No, because I, like you, have gotten a lot of roles because people see me as white. You know, and I'm very well aware of that. You know, that if I looked more Asian, I wouldn't get the roles that I have gotten in the past from theater. So I'm very well aware of that. So for me, I see this from the lens from both, you know, both sides of the issue. And so I think that's a really important thing for you to say, that we need to work together. And I guess that's what I'm hearing you saying.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm hoping that's going to be happening in the future. That's my one hot seat question for you, I guess. Any final words about age and gender equity in the arts? What do you want the most to happen?
What I'd like to see happen, and I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, is for this to become an irrelevant issue.
That's what I hope too.
Yes. But that aside, I would like for everyone to, first of all, go to our website to share this information, to contact us and let us know how you would like to participate and be helpful to. We're at the ground floor. We're in the neophyte stages. This is a really exciting time. There's a drumbeat going on across this country. To my knowledge, we're the only organization right now that's really melding the age and the gender piece together and creating this very specific action template. But I would like for others, I mean, I don't want to be the only one doing it. I would love for this to crop up all over the place and just become, again, a movement to change the paradigm in our culture.
And to change the images that we see, because it is true, the older a woman gets, the more invisible she gets. And I've heard that phrase over and over again. And it's in every field. I mean, it isn't just in theater. It isn't just in film and television. It's in every field.
Yes. And we have to change the language around what is beauty, what is sensual, what is sexual. Saying that wrinkles, or when you pass the age of 40 or 45, you stop being beautiful. And we say that out loud, especially in the arts. That has got to stop. We used to say that about the color of our skin, the shape of our facial features. We have stopped saying that, at least publicly. Now we need to stop saying that about age and gender.
Well, Jane Vogel, very inspiring words there to end with, founder and board president of Age and Gender Equity in the Arts. I really do wish you well on this much needed organization and this effort. And I hope lots of people come, both male and female, female and male, turn out for the celebration on May 4th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. And you can get more info at their site at ageinthearts.org or visit stageandstudio.org, where I have links to that as well as the podcast of this interview. Thank you so much for being on Stage and Studio.
Thank you, DeMay.
Before we go today, an announcement. Portland Opera continues its 50th anniversary season with Jerome Kern's musical, Showboat. This is the revised version by Harold Prince, recently seen on Broadway. Showboat runs May 1st through the 9th. This is the Portland premiere of the award-winning Harold Prince version. Showboat tells the story of three different love stories, including one interracial relationship, and features both an African-American and white cast. Performances for Showboat are May 1st, 3rd, 5th, 7th, and 9th at the Keller Auditorium on Southwest 3rd and Clay. For more info and tickets, visit portlandopera.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can find links at stageandstudio.org, where you can see photos and a podcast of this show. You can also download all the shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. And you can always tweet me at @StageTheLetterAndStudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Tune in to KBOO Monday, April 27th through Friday, May 2nd from noon to 4, and Saturday and Sunday, May 2nd and 3rd from noon to 5 p.m. to hear our live broadcast from the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, brought to you by our friends and colleagues at WWOZ in New Orleans. We'll have access to 5 stages of fantastic traditional and contemporary New Orleans jazz and blues, brass bands, and interviews and commentary by the best that WWOZ has to offer. That's the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival starting Monday, April 27th. The weekdays, we'll broadcast it from noon to 4 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, May 2nd and 3rd, we'll broadcast the festival from noon to 5 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And you're tuned to KBOO Portland Community Radio 90.7. Up next, Art Focus is off today. Instead, we'll hear a speech by the late feminist leader, Betty Friedan, author of The Feminine Mystique.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tucci Ristorante, an Italian dining house honoring the memory of Mary Cipolla Matucci and the spirit of the Lido restaurant in which she worked for 50 years. Tucci Ristorante features sustainable Northwest ingredients, drinks in the Lido bar, and is open every day in downtown Lake Oswego. Information at tucci.biz. That's TUCCI.BIZ.
We have to somehow organize again. Organize again. You know, well, you laugh. But, I mean, I'm serious.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Hi, I'm Wings producer